From WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
Oh, man, if you like college football, yes, today has to feel like Christmas, ladies and gents. Yes, college football starts today. I can't believe it. Oh, man, it's certainly an exciting time in all of sports. So glad you allowed Current Sports to be a part of your Thursday afternoon. We have a fantastic show as we try to kick off college football the right way and give you our thoughts on the start of a new season. We'll also dive into the Josh Shaw lie. Oh, really a bizarre story there. Also, North Carolina, they decide to suspend four due to the hazing allegations over there. Michigan, they have decided not to to name captains until the end of the regular season for their football team. We'll talk a little Tigers, bring you Throwback Thursday, and chat about anything else that is on your sports noggin. Folks, you know that number, 517-355-9527. While you're whipping out those phones, here's the man, the myth, the legend, Alex Shard, with your Current Sports Quick Hit Headliners.
Good afternoon. I'm Alex Shard, and these are your Current Sports Quick Hit Headliners for Thursday, August 28th. University of Michigan football coach Brady Hoke told the media earlier this week that the Wolverines will not elect captains until after the regular season. Michigan will decide on captains week to week for the coin toss before each game. And after the Ohio State game, the team will vote on full year captains, both for the wall and for the record books. Hoke also dismissed any talk about whether or not he believes he's on the hot seat entering his fourth season. Hoke said, quote, "You've got a job to do, and you got to do it for those 115 young men who are in the program. You can't worry about those things," end quote. Three-star Kentucky defensive back Grayson Miller, who is also an MSU football commit, broke his ankle in Scott County's 42-38 win over Lafayette Friday night, according to the Lexington Herald Leader. The injury, which happened in the opening minutes of the game, will cause Miller to miss the rest of his senior season. Miller, the son of former Michigan State All-Big Ten safety John Miller, committed to the Spartans in June. Another former athlete from the state of Michigan is going to compete on the reality TV series Survivor. Former Pistons Uncle Cliffy, or Cliff Robinson, did it last season in the 28th season of the long-running series. This time around, it's former Michigan State linebacker John Mish. This year's Survivor theme is San Juan del Sur, Blood vs. Water, with nine pairs competing. Mish is a Waterford native who played at MSU from 2007-10. He's paired with Jacqueline Schultz, a media buyer in Las Vegas, who was Miss Michigan USA 2013 and attended MSU in Central Michigan University. The New York Yankees even things against the Tigers last night. The Yankees chased David Price with nine straight hits in the third inning, beating the Tigers 8-4. New York scored all of its eight runs in the third off of Price, who had pitched a one-hitter in his previous start. Rookie Shane Green allowed two runs and five hits in seven innings. He struck out eight and walked one. Price was the first pitcher who allowed nine straight hits in a game since Houston's Bob Forsch gave up nine against Cincinnati on August 3rd of 1989. The Tigers and Yankees play the rubber match at 1:08 p.m. today. We'll keep you updated throughout today's Current Sports. The Detroit Lions wrap up the preseason tonight with a road matchup against the Buffalo Bills at 7 o'clock. Lions coach Jim Caldwell declined to say if Stafford would play Thursday against the Bills, but Stafford did take part in practice as usual this week in the 30-minute portion open to the media. USC senior quarterback Josh Shaw has admitted to lying about how he suffered his ankle injuries last weekend and has been suspended indefinitely, according to the school in a statement on Wednesday. Shaw said he suffered a pair of high ankle sprains Saturday night after jumping from the second story of an apartment complex to save his 7-year-old nephew, who was struggling in the pool as his nephew did not know how to swim. He admitted to the team officials on Wednesday that the story was a complete fabrication. Head coach Steve Sarkisian said Tuesday the school received several calls questioning the authenticity of Shaw's story and had been investigating the matter further. To the NBA, Doc Rivers is staying with the LA Clippers for another 5 years. In Steve Ballmer's first big move since taking over as new owner, he gave Rivers a contract extension through the 2018-19 season. Ballmer said Wednesday it was one of his top priorities to ensure that Rivers remains a long-term leader of the team. Rivers was a stabilizing force for the franchise during the upheaval created by former owner Donald Sterling's racist remarks that led to his ouster after 33 years of ownership. And lastly, North Carolina coach Larry Fedora said Wednesday the team has suspended four players for this weekend's season opener, a day after a report of an alleged hazing altercation that left a redshirt freshman walk-on receiver with a possible concussion. The players suspended were sophomores Des Lawrence and Brian Walker, redshirt freshman Donnie Miles, and true freshman MJ Stewart. North Carolina has said it's conducting an investigation of what it described as an incident involving members of the team. That statement was released in response to a Yahoo Sports report, but did not confirm it was a hazing incident. And those are your current Sports Quick Hit headliners for this Thursday, August 28th. Time to send it back to Al to start the show with all of the hype behind Michigan State football tomorrow. Lines are now open.
All right, my man Alex. Thanks a lot, my brother. All right, again, the phone lines are open. They will stay open throughout this entire hour. 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. You can also, of course, go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports and even tweet me at Al Martin WKAR. Man, I'm excited today. It's a big day. It is a big day in the world of sports, specifically in the world of football, because not only does college football start today, and you have a plethora of games to choose from, ladies and gents. I mean, one of the big games that was supposed to get a lot of hype this year because, you know, many thought that, you know, Johnny Manziel may have, you know, stayed another year, or Jadeveon Clowney might have done the same. South Carolina, they actually play Texas A&M today. Should be a big game. In the Big Ten, you have a few games as well. You have two games, actually. Rutgers will take on Washington State. Minnesota will play Eastern Illinois. It's just an exciting time that college football is back. It's one of my favorite sports to watch. I mean, college football to me, which will probably, you know, could change a little bit due to the playoff being enacted now. But college football is one of those rare sports that each and every Saturday, each and every regular season game has the potential to be better than the postseason. I mean, it's a fun time. Michigan State, of course, kicks off their season tomorrow night at 7:30 p.m. They take on Jacksonville State down at Spartan Stadium. I'm sure many of you will be attending the game, or if you're not attending, at least tailgating, just getting ready for another season. Oh, it's an exciting time, folks. It is an exciting time, and I certainly will be glued to my TV after. Of course, this day also, you know, having a dual meaning here with football, because not only is this the start of college football, but around this area, it is also the start of high school football, ladies and gents. Yes, oh man, I the lights will be on, you know, Thursday night lights. Of course, many games being held tonight due to the Labor Day weekend coming up, you know, with the three-day weekend. It only makes sense to do it on Thursday night. So many, many teams from around the area will be kicking off their season tonight. I personally will be out at the St. John's and East Lansing football game doing play-by-play with my man Eric Doc Love of 92.1 Big Country FM. Gotta love the Doc. The Doc is what I call him. The Love Doctor is what I call him, I should say. So he'll be my color guy. I'll be doing play-by-play for the St. John's and East Lansing game. Definitely looking forward to it. Definitely excited. We actually had Dave Maragy earlier this week on the show to just, you know, to talk about, you know, what his thoughts on the season and how are they prepping for East Lansing. Both squads, the Trojans and Red Wings, you know, they always have solid squads each and every year. So, and also tonight, after you get done going out and enjoying a night of high school football from around the area, why don't you go home, you know, get your favorite beverage or your favorite snack, pop a squat on the couch, and turn the WKAR TV, okay, as I will be chatting with Dan Bogan, who's the head coach of the Lansing Sexton football team. I will be sitting down with Dan tonight at 10 p.m. on WKAR TV. You do not want to miss that, folks. It was a great, 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 great time chatting with Dan, so you do not want to miss that. So, again, folks, our phone lines will be open. 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. I believe we have a caller right now as we speak. My man Ray wants to talk a little college football. How you doing, Ray? You on Current Sports.
Hey, Coach Skipper, I'd like to talk to you for a minute.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, that game at Oregon, what a tough game you got coming up there. How are you going to stop that quarterback?
Yeah, well, I tell you what, I think that'll be a good litmus test for the Spartans, a very early test just to see that, you know, where they are on the national spotlight and as far as their, you know, because there's a lot of hype right now, Ray, around this team. Michigan State, of course, coming off a Rose Bowl season, many people are choosing them to come out of the Big Ten, and many people are even choosing them to, you know, not only come out the Big Ten, but to make that college football playoff, that four-team playoff. So this will show whether or not, you know, Michigan State deserves to be among the big dogs, I think. When playing a team like Oregon, which is historically, each and every year, one of the quality teams in all of college football, it'll be a good test. I think it'll be a close game, too, Ray. Even if they go out to Oregon and lose, right, if they make it a close competitive game, right, it will speak volumes to how they are perceived nationally.
Well, you know, I used to work down to Michigan for 18 years, and I've seen a lot of their teams be ranked really high, and they end up being bust.
Right, right.
They got their big head. I just hope you guys have stayed level-headed because you've lost a lot of players on defense. I don't know how good your defense is going to be. How do you think it's going
to
react?
Ray, to be honest, I think that defense will it'll miss a beat because let's be honest here. When you remove from that defense guys like Max Bulla, who is an unprecedented leader on that team, you're not losing the best corner in all of college football in Darquez Denard. You miss a guy like Denikos Allen, who is a standout. I mean, that defense was certainly stacked. But I think when, you know, looking at guys like, Shalique Calhoun, who is the best, you know, defensive lineman arguably in the Big Ten right now, you got a guy like Tywan Jones who, looking at the preseason reports, he looks as, you know, he's going to be the starting, middle linebacker who is going to be, you know, he looks to be very, very, efficient right now. And at least in training camp, he's a very athletic guy. He knows how to read the offense very well. He's a leader on that defense as well. And you got to trust in Pat Narduzzi. Pat Narduzzi is a man who each and every year has this defense running like a well-oiled machine. I mean, Pat Narduzzi is one of the best defensive coordinators in the entire nation. Hey, I trust that he's going to have these guys ready by the time, especially tomorrow, but throughout this entire season. I think this defense is going to be something to talk about still, Ray.
You going to spank Michigan this year?
Well, only time will tell that. You know what? But I will say this, Ray. I think that Michigan State in Michigan game is going to be closer than a lot of people think.
Right.
I think Michigan State will eventually close it. I think Michigan State wins by a touchdown, you know, somewhere around there, a touchdown, maybe 10 points or so. I think it's going to be a competitive game. If you look at what's so mind-boggling about the Michigan and Michigan State series to me, Ray, is if you date back the series to about 4 years, and if you look at every Michigan and Michigan State game since up until this point, Michigan has steadily declined in their offensive proficiency. I mean, they went from 21 points one year to about, 17 points another year, then 10 points, then last year, 6 points. I think they reversed that trend. I don't see them putting up 3 points against Michigan State this year. They reversed that trend. It's going to be a close one, but the Spartans eventually close it out.
I hope it's no points.
Well, there you have it. I got to love Ray. Thanks a lot, Ray, for the call, my man. Oh, boy, I tell you, Ray, he's always the Michigan pessimist, Alex, always. Got to love that. Okay, folks, well, call in, folks, again. Today is the day. It marks the unofficial start. It marks the official start of college football. I can't believe it, folks. I can't believe this day is already here. And of course, high school football. Many teams from around the area will be kicking off their season today as well. If you got any thoughts on it, hey, we will take your calls right now, and we'll continue to take your calls throughout this entire hour up until 2 p.m. 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. And I'm curious to get your thoughts, folks, on how do you think the Spartans will perform this year? Do you think they win the Big Ten? Do you think they make that college football playoff? Hey, call in and give me your thoughts on that. I'd love to chat about it. 517-355-9527. Well, Alex, we have a lot to talk about on today's show, other than, of course, the football fianzo that's going to be taking place today. But also, how about Josh Gordon? You know, this is something we didn't talk about in our quick hit headlines. Definitely want to mention this real quick. Of course, Josh Gordon, who has had multiple occasions, off-the-field altercations, I should say. He's a football wide receiver. For those of you who don't know who Josh Gordon is, he's a football wide receiver for the NFL's Cleveland Browns. Right now, the NFL reviewed his case. Josh Gordon decided to appeal the NFL's punishment of him who, you know, Josh Gordon, who's had multiple cases of marijuana use. You know, he's been tested multiple times and failed multiple drug tests. The NFL decided to uphold their suspension of Josh Gordon of 1 year. 1 year. So now Josh Gordon will not, you will not see Josh Gordon play at all this upcoming NFL season. The NFL decided to stick to their guns and just lay down the hammer when it comes to Josh Gordon. I think that I definitely agree with it here, Alex, because if you look at it, I have no sympathy, no sympathy whatsoever for athletes who make repeated mess ups. And Josh Gordon is the epitome of that. Josh Gordon, how many times have we talked about Josh Gordon failing a drug test? How many times have we talked about Josh Gordon using marijuana and getting caught? I mean, how many times have we talked about that when it comes to him? And I just think the NFL got fed up with it and said, okay, you're not getting what we're trying to say here. So maybe you need to take a year off to think about it. I think it was the right move here. I definitely agree with it. But you know what, Alex, is interesting because the NFL is getting a lot of heat when it comes to the Josh Gordon suspension, because if you look at an incident that took place earlier this summer and was talked about many times throughout here on the show, the Ray Rice suspension. Ray Rice, of course, getting, four games or two games, I believe. Ray Rice, a man who allegedly, beat his fiance at the time, was caught on camera dragging her out of the elevator. It really it's just uncomfortable video to watch. His suspension doesn't come close to what Josh Gordon is getting right now, and I think I think there's a problem there. I think there's a huge problem there, Alex, in my view, because I think, first of all, you know, Josh Gordon, he gets caught. Of course, okay, I definitely agree that the reason why I agree with the NFL's one-year suspension here is because he is a repeated offender. He's not getting the message, so the NFL has to do something drastic in order to open his eyes and hit him upside the head and say, hey. But with Ray Rice, this is something that is a very, very touchy topic. Domestic violence here. Josh Gordon is doing something that, you know, in one state, at least in Colorado, it's legal. You know, it's legal to smoke marijuana in Colorado. But domestic violence and beating your wife or putting your hands on your fiance or wife or any woman for that matter, that's illegal in all 50 states, okay? His suspension should have been harsher. I definitely agree with that. And NFL, I think, has to go back and review how they handle certain situations. It really calls into question really the integrity of the NFL right now, Alex.
Yeah, and this is the first time it's happened where an athlete fakes an injury. Do you remember Monte Ellis's moped incident back in 2008?
Yeah.
I mean, there are so many other cases with Brandon Marshall, too. Remember his fake injury? In the NFL and NBA and all the other sports combined, there have been so many blasphemous injuries that turn out to be something fake. And obviously with this case, with Josh Brown, it's a lot different since he's a repeated offender. And it's not even really clear what really happened yet with this injury. And I know they're investigating over.
Well, you're talking about Josh Shaw right now.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
But with Josh Gordon, Josh Gordon is the right receiver for the Cleveland Browns. I mean, it was released today that he is going to be suspended for the entire year for using marijuana. So that's a different case.
Oh, that's right. Sorry. Yeah, so with Josh Brown, even though he's suspended for a year, like you said, a repeated offender. And the Cleveland Browns with Johnny Football now and that whole show, I feel like this is the last thing they needed in addition to, you know, just the Johnny Football hype and bonanza going around Cleveland.
Yeah, yeah. I tell you what, yeah, it certainly doesn't look good for the Cleveland Browns organization. But, you know, the NFL, though, as far as the NFL goes, because, again, the NFL is getting a lot of backlash because you look at a guy like Ray Rice, he only gets, two games for allegedly, you know, putting his hands on his fiance, caught on camera, dragging her out the elevator. He only gets two games, while as you got a guy in Josh Gordon who smokes marijuana repeatedly and gets a full year. So they don't believe that, hey, there's a misconstruity here with the way the NFL handles certain instances and punishes certain individuals for what they do. Now, again, I do stand by the NFL in saying that Josh Gordon, I agree with it. I have no remorse for a guy who repeatedly does the same thing over and over and over after being told over and over and over that you can't do that same thing. Hey, you need a wake-up call. Hey, send him out for a year. I definitely agree with it. But a guy like Ray Rice, if you're going to suspend Josh Gordon a year for doing that, Ray Rice's suspension has to be equal to that or even worse. So I definitely see where people are coming from. I want to get your thoughts on this, folks. Again, 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. Also want to remind you all again, folks, Current Sports TV tonight, 10 p.m. on WKAR-TV. I sit down with head football coach of the Lansing Sexton Big Reds, Dan Bogan. Going to be a fantastic episode. You also get to see me at Volleyball Media Day out at Spirit Time as Kathy George, Corey Meister, and the entire MSU volleyball team showed us media members how to bump, set, and spike. It's a pretty cool feature. You'll also get to see that and so much more in tonight's Current Sports TV, so do not miss it. All right, folks, now to the incident that Alex just alluded to, this whole Josh Shaw situation. It's really a bizarre story, and kind of Alex took me back to the whole Manti Te'o catfish story, you know, because it has a lot of parallels when you compare both of these stories. Now, for those of you who just may be tuning in and missed our Current Sports Quick Hit Headliners, USC senior corner Josh Shaw has admitted to lying about how he suffered his ankle injuries last weekend and has been suspended indefinitely. And that's according to the school in a statement that was released on Wednesday. And I remember this is a feel-good story. I remember we actually had this story during our Quick Hit Headliners. It was a feel-good story. I mean, a story like this that happens right on the brink of the college football season where you have Josh Shaw, who, you know, all of a sudden looks down on off the top of the second, you know, second story of an apartment building, looks down and sees his 7-year-old nephew who cannot swim, struggling in the pool. So what does this upstanding young man named Josh Shaw do? He jumps off the second story of an apartment complex. He goes down there and saves his 7-year-old nephew from the rapture of the water, and who doesn't know how to swim. And he suffers two ankle injuries jumping off a second story of an apartment complex. That's pretty high up. So, you know, he injures his ankle while doing so, but he saves in an heroic effort. He saves his 7-year-old nephew. Well, it turns out that it was a complete lie. What?
Yeah.
How bizarre is that? Why would you lie about that?
Right. The story was just so extreme, too. I mean, jumping off and saving his nephew, struggling in the pool. You could just tell that it just sounded fake.
It's like something from a movie.
Yeah.
But you know, hold on, but let me just be honest here. When you first heard this story, did you have any inclination that this story could be false?
I actually did.
You did? Okay.
I mean, I feel like there's a way that when you say something, there's a way that if you have so many specific details like this one had, you can kind of catch yourself in that. I mean, from jumping off the second story to – I mean, the more details you throw out in specifics in such an extreme situation, the more you seem it's fake. I mean, this doesn't – why is your kid swimming at night anyway?
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
You don't have a kid, a 7-year-old.
Well, you know, things happen. I've seen – there's been many freak accidents here. And I just thought when I saw it, I mean, it was being reported nationally everywhere from ESPN to Yahoo Sports to USC. USC even hyped it up and had it on their football page. I'm like, okay, well, there's got to be some credibility here if you got all these journalists, you know, putting it out there and telling this story. And, you know, Josh has been, looking at his past, his entire career and looking at the media who have covered Josh Shaw over at USC. They talk about how upstanding he is, how classy he is, how he's a joy to interview. I mean, there was no inclination there that would make me question his story. Now that he comes out and says that, hey, I lied, it was completely false, I'm sorry. Now that he's come out and said that, it makes you instinctively go back and look at this story and try to pick apart, why didn't we catch this, you know? And if you look at it, there are some holes in this story now, because for me, it was really weird that a story like this, where you go down and you save your nephew who can't swim and is about to drown, why weren't there no witness accounts in any of the stories that we read?
Right, right.
You know, that's one red flag for me. Because something like that, I mean, you would think, especially being in the Twitter and Facebook age and smartphone age that we are, you would think somebody would have this moment on their smartphone or something like that. Or there would at least be one witness that would come out and say, yeah, I witnessed it. I mean, Josh Shaw is unbelievable. But there wasn't that. There were no accounts of that. And, you know, if Josh is going to lie about this, for me, the thing that I have a problem with is why bring someone else into your lie? That someone else being your nephew.
Right.
Because it's easy. Poor it could be kid. Really easy. You would think a story like this, of course, the media is now going to want to talk to your nephew who is struggling in the pool about this situation. That's setting, it's like he set himself up to come out and just be, you know, caught red-handed in a lie. I don't get that. Another thing, why hire an attorney? You know, that this just shows me that you're guilty here. You know, because in a situation like this, where you're caught in a fable, when you're caught telling a lie here, you hiring an attorney shows to me that maybe somebody said something on you. Maybe somebody, you know, knows the true story and was threatening Josh to come out about this. And Josh wanted to get ahead of the game and say, okay, well, maybe I need to come out and just say, yeah, I made up a story here. I made up a fable. Which why he would do? What is the intent here? You know, the only intent that I could see Josh Shaw, you know, having to come out and lie about this story is that he just wanted some attention. This is just an attention getter story. I mean, this is an attention getter story where you talk about saving the life of your young nephew. It goes viral. The national media hear about it. You have people on Twitter blowing up and talking about it. I mean, this just was you just wanted some attention here. That's all this was about. It just brings into question the character now of Josh Shaw, the character that everybody put on a pedestal. Because it seems to me, everybody who interviewed this young man, anybody who covered USC football, everybody was pretty high on this kid. I mean, everybody talked about how he's so responsible and he's great with the media. And now you put this on there, and it not only makes you bad, what really hurts this whole story too, and what is rubbing a lot of people wrong, is that he not only makes Josh Shaw look bad, he makes the entire university look bad here,
Alex. Yeah, that's true. And also, senior cornerback, this is the year where, I mean, he was slated to maybe probably go pro, and he's going to have all kinds of questions left and right at the combine, just like I'm sure Max Bullock did with his suspension, just like many players did, like Manti Te'o had when he had his whole situation with the fable. So, yeah, especially with a senior year, that what a horrible way to start a week before the season, too. I mean, they can't even focus on their first game.
Yeah, well, looking at the story now, he's now suspended indefinitely. So indefinitely. We don't know how long.
So is Cassante York.
Exactly, right? But it's just a weird story. I just don't know why people would lie about something like that. I mean, it's just something wrong with the kid.
Well, obviously, we don't know what happened, but obviously it wasn't bad enough that he had to lie. Maybe the police were involved. I know there were reports coming out that other players were involved with something too.
Well, yeah, and looking at the article, it said he was, he injured his ankle on a fall. Now, how that fall happened, we have no idea. We don't know the details here, and we can't go further until we know the rest of the details.
Could have been maybe a player fight, maybe a player pushed him and he
maybe
fell.
I don't know, but even that wouldn't make sense though. You know, that wouldn't even make sense. If death happened, you know, why make up this whole elaborate story of saving your 7-year-old nephew from a pool?
Maybe he was trying to get his teammates back. Maybe he didn't want him suspended. Maybe he was a high-profile player.
Yeah, possibly. I could see. But it's just another thing here is, as journalists and as broadcasters, Alex, we have to be wary of everything.
Everything.
Every single thing. We can't trust. That's the journalism motto of 2014,
right.
Okay? Don't trust anyone.
Yeah.
Cite your sources. Make sure you have extensive information on anything you report before you put it out there because, man, as you see, there are a lot of liars out there.
And lastly, they only had two guys available to talk to media before the first game. Only two players.
Right.
And they're in their whole scrum. You know, you request players for interviews. They had two players, young guys. None of the upperclassmen were speaking. I mean, that just shows, again, something's going on when you're not even allowing other players to speak to media that weren't even associated with Shaw.
Yeah, a lot of fishy moments in this story. A lot of fishy components to this whole thing. All right, folks, again, if you want to call in and comment on the Josh Shaw fable, you know the number, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Before we hit the break, Alex, let's bring up this USC story. Of course, yesterday's Barbershop Wednesday was centered on whether or not hazing in sports will and should ever go away. We had a pretty good discussion about it. Of course, we are bringing this up because UNC is involved right now in an investigation that, if you heard our Quick Hit headliners just a moment ago, the investigation is now moving on, and players have been suspended. They are sophomores Des Lawrence, Brian Walker, redshirt freshman Donnie Miles, and true freshman MJ Stewart. Now, you know, looking at this, North Carolina head coach Larry Fedora, he said Wednesday the team has suspended those four for this weekend's season opener. Again, this is a day after a report of an alleged hazing altercation that left a redshirt freshman walk-on receiver with a possible concussion. So, North Carolina, they said they are conducting an investigation as to what exactly happened. And I'm pretty sure we'll get more details as this story develops. But, you know, I think, first of all, I have to say this. And, you know, I said it on yesterday's show when diving into Barbershop Wednesday. Hazing, let's be honest here, is not going to stop. It's not going to stop. It's a part of sporting culture. It's certainly ingrained in sporting culture to the nth degree. Looking at even professional sports, NFL teams, NBA teams, they do it so often. How many times have you seen an NBA player holding a veteran's bags or, you know, having to get, you know, water for a certain veteran player on the team? You know, things like that. That's hazing. That's the definition of hazing right there. And, you know, I believe that players are going to find new ways to hide the practices of hazing, even though they are caught red-handed. It's a tradition. It's a tradition in sports that's not going to go away. I am surprised, though, in this story, Alex, that, you know, looking at who was caught and who was suspended here, I mean, you're talking about two sophomores, a redshirt freshman, and a true freshman. I'm surprised because normally, again, as I just said, you're talking about, you know, when normally we talk about hazing, you talk about veterans making
right.
the little guy do something. You know what I mean? The new guy, the freshman do something. But you got sophomores and freshmen involved in here. I'm surprised that there were no seniors yeah, involved.
Absolutely, and that's exactly what I was going to bring up with you is how are there no upperclassmen involved
right.
and a true freshman, not even just sophomores, but a guy that just set foot on campus, just set foot.
Exactly.
So there's no way that he can, quote-unquote, haze himself in a way.
Yeah.
It's a freshman. Maybe the freshman took part in some way. Who knows? But very odd to see a true freshman.
Yeah.
Not redshirt, but a freshman suspended.
Exactly. That was pretty weird for me because I thought when this report came out that these four players, you know, that UNC was going to suspend four players. I'm like, okay, let's read who the juniors and seniors
yeah.
are.
On a
you
top
know?
25 North Carolina team.
Exactly. But so that was pretty surprising to me. And, you know, this has to do, I talked about the perception now of USC and what a story like, you know, the Josh Shaw lie can do for the national perception of that school. Now having hazing allegations tied to your school and your athletic program like UNC football, which, by the way, had a pretty decent season last year, a breakout season, if you will, one of the best UNC football seasons that we've seen in quite some time. But now the perception of that program is now totally shifted to what they're doing on the gridiron to a stupid hazing allegation. So now what these players have to be aware of, again, I don't think that hazing is going to stop just because they're caught red-handed. We've seen, in any regard, if we've seen multiple players who are caught doing something repeatedly, and I can even go back to the Josh Gordon situation, who's caught, you know, smoking weed repeatedly, they just have a tendency to keep on doing it. They just don't wake up. So hazing is going to continue. But now UNC is going to be looked at very closely now by the upper echelons who want to ban hazing, period. So they have to really watch what they do. Those players are definitely on the hot seat right now.
And I'm surprised, especially you see all the rookie haircuts and things like that. We were talking about it on the air 2 weeks ago
right.
about the best rookie haircuts. Do you remember that, Al?
There was some stuff online about that. Right.
I mean, that's a form of hazing, too, and I'm surprised the NFL hasn't cracked down on that.
Yeah, and I just think, you know, this is like that. I'm fine with stuff like that, you know? I'm fine with little stuff like that because, again, it's a tradition. It's fun. It's a part of earning your stripes. I get that. It's not going to go away. But there's a fine line that is crossed when you're talking about a physical, you know, just going too far, you know, punching somebody or causing somebody to have a concussion. You know, physical altercations of hazing, that's going too far, period. Point blank, period. And, hey, they deserve to be suspended. If they were involved in it, they deserve to be suspended.
Totally.
You know?
Totally.
It's supposed to be a fun thing, a fun tradition, not one that's supposed to give somebody a concussion. All right, folks, so let's hit the first break. When we come back, we have so much more to talk about. Again, if you want to call in and give your thoughts on anything we talk about here on the show, you know the number, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Don't touch that dial. We'll be right back. Music is a world within itself, with a language we all understand. Girl, do I do what you do when I do my love to you? Man, I am dancing in the studio right now, in my mind. in my mind I am. Stevie Wonder, my favorite Motown artist of all time. Man, oh, man, I love me some Stevie Wonder. Alex, who's your favorite Motown artist of all time?
Tough question, man. I'm going to have to say The Temptations.
They're good.
Favorite artists, maybe?
They're in my top five, without a doubt. Yeah. I mean, I remember I fell in love with them on The Temptations
I used to listen to them every day to school, man.
They're great. They are great. But, man, Stevie, dude, is just, oh, just a creative genius. I can't wait till his movie is made. Oh, man, I went and saw James Brown not too long ago, which was, by the way, a great movie. But, man, they got to go all out for Stevie. All right, folks, so welcome back to Current Sports. Again, I am your host, Al Martin, joined by production assistant Alex Sharg. Well, Michigan football coach Brady Hoke told the media earlier this week that the Wolverines will not elect captains until after the regular season. Now, Michigan will decide on captains week to week for the coin toss each game, before the coin toss each game, I should say, and after the Ohio State game, the team will vote on full year captains. Huh, interesting stuff here, Alex, because, you know, this is kind of breaking away from a tradition historically and traditionally for the Michigan Wolverine football team. They vote on captains before the start of the year. And it's been, this is, you know, they've been doing this, you know, back since, you know, 1876 or something like that, you know. The only time this has happened has been in 2008 and 2009 when Rich Rodriguez decided to change up things and do it after the regular season. I think, personally, this isn't a big story to me. I think that having captains, to me, Alex, is overrated. I truly think it is, because I think that players naturally, throughout the ebb and flow of a season, you know who the leaders are. You don't need somebody to tell you that or have somebody have a title with that. You know what I mean? Like, let's just say, let's go equate it to my favorite athlete of all time, Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan didn't need to have the title of captain for his teammates to know that he was the leader on that team. I mean, it was just clear cut. You don't have to have, having that title, it's just a title, you know? You know who the guy is, right?
Al,
come on.
Oh, where do I start? Well, first of all, you're telling me that just due to play on the field, so just because someone performs well, the team knows, okay, they're the leaders. They're
I didn't
the
say that. No, I didn't say that. I said, you know, you just know, not based on what they do on the court or the field, and just that their personality, that aura of personality. I mean, Michael Jordan didn't care if he was named captain or not. He would get in your grill if you weren't handling your business on the court. Not because he was named captain, just because you know that saying, you're born a leader. Nobody can make you a leader. That's something you either have or you don't have. Having a title to make sure everybody knows, you don't need that. I can go back, you know, that's why Tom Izzo didn't have a captain for last year's MSU men's basketball team, because there were certain guys on that team that everybody knew. You know, Denzel started to come along as that leader near the end of last year. He didn't have to have that title for everybody to know that. He was just a naturally vocal guy, and that was a part of his personality. Again, it's something you're born with. You don't have to have somebody to tell you, hey, you're the captain of this team, in order to be one.
But normally, Al, there are multiple captains, especially for football and basketball. You remember last year with Michigan State, there were multiple captains with an S.
Right.
If it was just, you know who the guy is or guys are, you know, without saying you're a captain, then how do you control it then when all of them are jibber-jabbering back and forth and there's no main source?
No, that's the thing. That's the thing, Alex. I mean, looking at Tom Izzo's men's basketball team last year, naturally, some players are more cool, calm, and collected and not as vocal and not, they don't have that leadership quality. And they're fine with that role. They're perfectly fine with that role. Keith Appling, you know, especially when Keith Appling first came to the Michigan State men's basketball program, I mean, he was just a really quiet, naturally quiet kid who didn't evoke the qualities of a leader. Eventually, he kind of came into that leader, and you're not going to have, just because you're not named a captain or there is no captain on the team, doesn't mean that everybody is going to be off the rocker invoking their own opinion, feeling as though they're the captain. They know their roles without, as if you're a disciplined football team or disciplined team in general, you know what your roles are on that team, both on the field and off of it. Nobody has to tell you how to act.
I see what you're saying,
regard.
But I still think there are more intangibles other than, like, for Keith's example, that, yeah, he's a naturally quiet kid. He was that floor general.
He wasn't a leader. He was not a leader.
Right,
Keith Appling was not a leader when he came here.
But that's the thing, is I view a captain
when he came here
as someone who, and regardless, a captain is someone that has the intangibles off the court, aside from just performance-based things.
But do you need somebody to tell you that? That's basically what this comes down to. Well, I don't think you have to be named
the
captain.
Then why is he naming at the end of the season, period? If that's because, the case, then what does it matter?
You know why? And that's my second point here. The reason why I think this is a great move by Brady Hoke and why I kind of admire it is that I think, you know, him saying and putting it out there that we're going to name captains, but we're not going to do it now. We're going to do it after the regular season is done, when we go into bowl play or playoff play, is because he wants these guys to earn that title, to literally earn that title, to show that not only did you were a leader in training camp before the season started, but you showed that you were a leader throughout a season. When there is adversity, when you have a tough loss, when you deal with all of these things, these issues that a season brings, you show that you are a leader, and you have to prove yourself here. They have to prove themselves. And I think it really bodes onto the effect of the players now being mindful that, hey, if you want to be a captain, you have to show it. And they're going to go out their way to do that throughout a season. It's going to push them to be better.
That's one way you could look at it. But the other side is they're naming it after the season, not because you have to earn it, but maybe because no one has emerged yet as a few leaders. Maybe they don't have those leaders that they're searching for in their last year, especially with Devin Gardner. I mean, it's a fifth-year senior starting quarterback. Maybe there are some other players that have been more vocal. Maybe he's the only one that's been a leader so far. We don't know. But like you said, I do hear your side where it's, okay, let's wait until they prove themselves, and maybe right. There are several leaders out there, and we don't want to name a few. But you're telling me just because three guys get named and one guy gets left out, that guy's not going to be disappointed. They're there to win
And that's exactly what I'm saying here. Cap being named captain is totally overrated. Overrated. Period. And I think Connor Cook's another example. You got arguably the best quarterback in the Big Ten. And, you know, when we talked to Connor Cook during MSU Media Day, I mean, this guy is so confident, so cool, so poised. He spoke like a leader. You know what I mean? I thought it was in the bag that Connor Cook was going to be named captain for this upcoming year. But he wasn't. Just because he wasn't named captain, though, doesn't mean that he's not a leader. Period. Your quarterback is a natural leader on any football team, period. So I think it's just overrated, man. I truly do. So really quickly, now we're really going to dive into this tomorrow, Alex, of course, on the heels of Michigan State football opening up its season tomorrow night at 7:30 p.m. at Spartan Stadium against Jacksonville State University. We're going to break down the Big Ten, give you our thoughts, and break down each game and tell you what our record predictions for Michigan State and the Wolverines, what they'll be, who we're going to think are going to make the playoff, which I think MSU, just to spoil my surprise here, I think MSU will make the 4-team playoff. But we're going to break down all of that tomorrow. And also, I want to remind you all, folks, that, hey, Current Sports and Current State is also teaming up an hour before kickoff from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. Current State and Current Sports will be going live on the air on 90.5 FM, WKR-FM. Mark Bayshore and I will be hosting a pregame show. It's going to be a great one. We got James Moore, who I love to call Lorenzo White's bodyguard. Of course, he was a fullback for the 1988 Rose Bowl championship team. Brian Calloway will also be joining me, Michigan State sports writer for the Lansing State Journal. We have a stacked show for you. We got John Madden, who is, of course, the director of the Michigan State University band. He'll be also joining us.
Not from EA Sports.
Not EA Sports is John. Not Boom Madden. Not that guy. But John Madden. You know, he's close, though. He's close. John Madden, he's a great guy, though. John Madden will be also joining us. We have a great show. Again, we'll be on the campus right in front of the music building like we were last year. But we're going to dive into all of the X's and O's and predictions tomorrow. But I just want to ask you, how good do you think Michigan will be this upcoming year, Alex?
Right now, first of all, I want to preface by saying just one thing about John Madden. A lot of people don't know this. If you remember last year, he was honored by Kirk Cousins at one of the football games for for all of his years of service as...
Oh, I don't even remember that.
As a band director. Yeah, I mean, this guy...
By Kirk Cousins?
I'm excited to hear him on the air. I mean, I remember Kirk Cousins did there's a whole video tribute for John Madden.
I haven't seen that. Okay.
And that's going to be exciting for tomorrow. I'm excited to listen to him. But how good will Michigan be? I think they're going to surprise a lot of people. And there are a lot of analysts talking out there how, you know, Michigan's the dark horse of the Big Ten and Wisconsin has too easy of a schedule. Ohio State, they're still searching. But, I mean, Michigan, think about it. You have Devin Gardner back for a fifth year, a very experienced quarterback, debatably more experienced than even Connor Cook is. And aside from that, their whole weakest link last year was their offense, I would argue. As much as their defense.
Specifically?
I mean, there's a reason why Borges got fired.
Yeah, specifically that offensive line, Alex. I mean, that offensive line didn't really give Devin any chance to be great.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, 2 seconds after he hiked the ball, he was eating grass.
And it's amazing,
you know?
Because a lot of the offensive linemen they have are very highly touted high school players, you know, offers all over the country. A lot of these guys had Alabama offers.
And that's what I'm saying. That's why I hate recruiting, Alex.
Right. Yeah, I know.
That's why all that stuff
but
is overrated.
But you could just blame it on the coaching. Maybe they're not doing plyos as much as they used to.
I understand.
Different routines are different.
But it's not all on the coaches here. The players, at the end of the day, the players have to go out there and handle business, and they weren't handling business. That offensive line was one of the worst I've ever seen. It was terrible.
All right.
Was it negative 48 yards during the Michigan State game? Oh, my God.
Give credit to the defense.
How many wins do they get this year?
Give credit to the defense.
How many wins do you think?
I think they'll get about 9 wins.
That's around my prediction, 8 or 9. 8 or 9 wins. Okay, we'll break all that down tomorrow. Let's hit the second break. When we come back, folks, we have Throwback Thursday coming at you. We'll also talk about the Lions as they wrap up their preseason campaign tonight against the Buffalo Bills. All of that and so much more. Do not touch that dial. Current Sports returns in just a sec. Welcome back to Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. You know, something really funny, Alex. I was, of course, you know, doing some game prep. Of course, I'm announcing the, doing my first play-by-play high school football game tonight with Eric Doc Love of 92.1 Big Country FM. So I'm in my office prepping for that, trying to get the roster names down and, you know, looking at the, you know, some of the interviews and when we had Dave Mirigi on the show yesterday and so on and so forth. And, you know, I guess we can let the cat out the bag now. You know, my office is on the 5th floor here at the Comm Arts building at MSU. And, you know, I look out my window, and I have a pretty good view of the MSU practice field from my office. So I was just sitting there. I need to buy some binoculars. Hopefully, none of the MSU upper echelons are listening to me right now. But I have a pretty good view. You know, I looked out there. You know, I see some red jerseys practicing. They're going through some plays. I saw some tackling going on. So, I can't see the whole field, but I can see, like, you know, a corner of it. Yeah, so the cat's out the bag there. So,
all right, man.
Well, yeah, we'll see. We'll see.
excited.
But, you know, I couldn't diagnose any plays or anything like that. But, yeah, it's a pretty cool view. But it just, you know, I looked out there and, you know, saw him practicing. I'm like, man, it's going to be a pretty good season. I saw some pretty nice plays out there happening. Now, I'm not going to divulge any information, okay? So, John Lewandowski, hey, I don't worry about it. Don't worry about it, man. All right. Well, hey, it's Thursday, and each and every Thursday here on Current Sports, we love to look back in time and look back into sports history as to what happened. What happened in the world of sports on this particular Thursday?
But the Detroit Pistons have just shocked the Los Angeles Lakers. Eisenman back over his step. Into the slot for Brown. Shoots. Yes. Good. And there it goes. You never know when to expect it. Darren McCarty said before.
All right. Thanks a lot, Alex. Throwback Thursday here on Current Sports, where we take a look at what happened on this particular Thursday, August 28th. And what happened on this Thursday in sports history? Well, I'll tell you what, it's a pretty short list this week, Alex. I'm looking here on my list that I've compiled, and not much really happened on this Thursday. This is a pretty lonely Thursday in the world of sports. 1922. Let's go back to 1922 here. The Walker Cup was held for the first time in Southampton, New York. Now, the Walker Cup, I should say, it is the oldest international team golf match in America. So, again, on this day, the Walker Cup first held. It's, its tournament out in New York. So, got to love that. Moving along from 1922 to 1941, the Football Writers Association of America was organized. How about that? So a lot of football writers getting their official start in 1941, really opening the door for football journalism to take another level. And last but not least, in 1972, Alex, Mark Spitz captured the first of his 7 gold medals at the Summer Olympics in Munich, Germany. He set a world record when he completed the 200 meter butterfly, and get this, 2 minutes. Oh my goodness, and 0.7 seconds. Mark Spitz, one of the greatest Olympians of all time. I know he held the world record for most gold medals for men in the world of swimming at the Summer Olympics. But of course, Michael Phelps is now the most decorated Olympian and surpassed Mark Spitz not too long ago. So there you have that. Though, you have anything else?
Yeah, I do. In 1994, at 18 years old, Tiger Woods became the youngest player ever to win the Amateur Golf Championship.
That's pretty cool stuff.
Pretty cool.
Tiger. We can only reminisce.
We can only reminisce.
When we talk about Tiger Woods today, because, man, he's just stinking up the joint right now. So hopefully he gets healthy.
And speaking of the Browns, since we talked about Josh Brown.
Yep.
On this day last year in 2013, Johnny Football, before he became a Brown, was suspended for signing autographs illegally, and then it all stemmed down from there. So
dig that.
The reunion to Johnny's blast from the past.
And what year was that?
Today. This was last year.
Yeah, because I remember talking about this story extensively when Matt was with us here on Current Sports. I remember we were chatting about it, and you know, whether or not, you know, players should be able to profit off of their autograph being signed on memorabilia and so on and so forth. But interesting stuff. Anything else?
No, that's all I got. Not too much local here.
Yeah, not at all. Again, that's Throwback Thursday. Well, that's Throwback Thursday, folks. Again, where we take a look at what happened in sports history on this particular Thursday, August 28th. A really silent one. Really a silent one here. All right. Well, Alec, really briefly, the Tigers. The Tigers. Yeah, well, they lost. David Price, speaking of stinking up the joint, oh, man.
Oh, yeah, he was.
P.U. Oh, my goodness. It was bad last night for David Price. The Yankees, they chased David Price with 9 straight hits in the third inning. 9 straight, folks, beating the Tigers 8-4. New York scored all 8 of its runs in the third off of Price, who had pitched a one-hitter in his previous start. Oh, boy. Now, Price, you know, interesting stat here that you talked about, Alex. Price was the first pitcher who allowed 9 straight hits in a game since Houston's Bob Forsh. He gave up 9 against Cincinnati on August 3rd of 1989. I don't know if you caught any of that game yesterday, Alex, but man, oh, man. He didn't retire a batter in the third. So his official line, get this, was 2 innings, 12 hits. That's just ugly.
Oh, yeah. It's...
That's just ugly, man. Now, again, looking at this whole thing, because a day ago, yesterday, we were on the show talking about, you know, how the Tigers were sort of, you know, maybe they get out of a funk here. Maybe they rally here. They get a big win over the Yankees. This is a big series. They're fighting for their chances in the wild card. They're still fighting in the AL Central. They got to hope that Kansas City drops some games here. And then all of a sudden, you know, we're speaking positive about them, and then today we're speaking totally negative about them. I mean, you can't trust anything on this Tigers team right now. I don't care if they came out today, which I had to look up the score here because we definitely promised our listeners out there that we would definitely keep them updated on the game. The game is going on right now. The rubber match is taking place as we speak, and right now it's tied. Right now it's tied. It's the bottom of the third inning. The Yankees and the Tigers are tied 1-1. But, you know, looking at this, though, I mean, what can you trust on this team, Alex? You can't trust anything. Even if the Tigers come out and hit, you know, if the final score was 13-3 in this game, final, to end the rubber match against the Yankees, I still won't be on my high horse praising the Tigers. There's always some doubt here. It's going to take a while for this doubt to go away. And it just makes me feel as though, because right now, I believe the Tigers right now, Alex, they are certainly in a point of desperation right now. They're fighting for their chances in the wild card right now. They're not in that top two right now in the AL. And then in the AL Central, you know, they're playing from behind trying to chase the Kansas City Royals. They are playing in a mood of desperation every time they take the field now. And ideally, in a situation like this, desperation is what the playoffs are all about. In the playoffs, it's about, you know, winning the games when you have to. It's about clutch moments. It's about showing up when you need to show up. Right now, the Tigers need to show up just to make the playoffs, and it's sort of, I guess you could say, a sort of a window or a glimpse into, I guess, how they could and would perform
right.
if it were playoff time. And right now, I'm not too confident they'll do pretty well.
Doesn't it feel like this year there have been so many unique stats about how poorly a player or the team has been doing with the Tigers? I mean, with David Price, the first pitcher ever to, you know, do a lot more than 9 hits, the Tigers have started more relievers this year than any other year in the Tigers organization.
Right.
You know, you hear so many different stats thrown out there, and it's all so negative, and it's worse than you could even argue than it was when they made the pennant years ago. I mean, I've never seen so many negative stats thrown out there in a single baseball season. I don't know if you've gotten that too, but it just seems like left and right, every week there's one horrible stat that gets thrown out from the Tigers with the errors, with, I mean, and these are noticeable stats. These aren't like...
Like historic stats?
Yeah, historic stats. And, yeah, that's just how I'm feeling. Just bottom of the heart, man. Just it just feels like it's not a good sign. But,
so,
but the good news out of yesterday, that I will say, is that the relief when Price went out, zero runs allowed over the next six innings. I mean, that's a pretty good stat. Over five different pitchers, too.
So far in this Yankee series, I mean, if you look at Joe Nathan going 1-2-3 in the ninth in game one of this Tigers-Yankee series, I mean, the closing has been, you know, they've closed the door. They definitely closed the door. So that's something we haven't been able to say throughout this entire year. So, yeah, I guess if there is some... you know, shining light of positivity to gain out of these out of yesterday's game. I guess it is that. But I'm just not sold on this team, man. Yeah. I feel as though there's just too many question marks.
Well, now they have division teams coming up. So
yeah. So we'll see, folks.
White Sox. I mean, they're limping a little bit.
Yeah, that's true.
Ron Gardenhire came out and said, "We're here as the Twins to just cause ruckus. We're here just to disrupt the Tigers." He said it in an interview. They're literally there to yank the chain for the Tigers.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
A lot of the division teams, regardless if they're the Twins or the Sox, regardless if they're out of contention, even in the Indians, they're there to just rattle the chain.
Yeah.
That's what it comes down to.
And looking at the standings right now, for those who are wondering, the Tigers right now are 2.5 games in back of the Kansas City Royals in the AL Central. And as far as the wild card chase is concerned, Detroit is a half game in back of both Oakland and Seattle for one of those two spots. So we'll see as things come down to the wire. We'll see if they can pull it out. Again, if you have any thoughts on this, we only have 2 minutes left in the show, so you can go to our social media pages. Tweet me at Al Martin WKR and also leave a comment on our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports. All right, well, let's wrap up the show by talking about the Lions as they wrap up the preseason. Really briefly, Alex, a minute and 30 left here in the show. What are you looking forward to the most, you know, now that the preseason is wrapping up for the Lions? Is there anything to look for tonight?
Yeah, and, you know, we talked about Calvin a little bit, how, you know, he was double-teamed and stuff like that. I read something earlier in ESPN, the magazine, that teams are trying to really disguise a lot of coverages against Calvin. I'd like to see how corners play Calvin, if they can get around it, because as a fantasy option, if you're playing fantasy football, he might not be the guy this year because of all the double teams they have on him. But in addition to how they're playing Calvin, I'm looking to see the corners being tested for the Lions like we talked about.
So that's what you want to see tonight?
Yep.
You know what I'm looking forward to seeing tonight, Alex?
What are you looking forward
to? This is a big one. I am looking forward to the preseason being over for the Detroit Lions. I feel as though I'm one of those guys who feel as though the preseason, what does it really tell you? Remember the year the Lions went 0-16? Guess what their record was in the preseason?
4-0.
Exactly. I'm just happy it's over. I'm happy it's over. All right, ladies and gents, we are out of time. But hey, you know, we'll be back. Same place, same time tomorrow. Big day tomorrow as well. Football kicking off for Michigan State. College football kicking off for many people, though, from around the nation. I'm sure many of you will be glued to your TVs. And high school football also kicking off tonight. You've been listening to Current Sports with me, Al Martin, on WKR East Lansing. As always, take care. Have one fantastic Thursday. And be easy, people.